tonight, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 8. And you say, well, we haven't covered Daniel chapter 3 or Daniel chapter 4 or Daniel chapter 5 yet. Why are we going Daniel 1, 2, 7, and 8? And I think you'll understand by the time we're done tonight. In Daniel chapter 2, when we are told what the vision is in verse 31, God uses Daniel to tell him, thou, O king, in verse 31, I'm in 231, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And then look at the end of verse 38. Thou, he's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, art this head of gold. So first, in chapter 2, you have a statue representing the course that the Gentile leaders are going to take from the time of Nebuchadnezzar till Jesus comes again. And it's a gold statue. It starts with gold, then silver, then bronze, then iron, then metal, iron, and clay. And it shows things are going to get worse until Jesus comes. Okay, all of that includes the Antichrist, who's going to wear out the saints and blaspheme God towards the end. Then the times of the Gentiles is over. So first, in chapter 2, it's gold, silver, bronze, iron, and then iron and clay. And we know it eventually ends in miry clay, which is mud. Then in chapter 7, God gives Daniel this vision, and in other words, go to chapter 7, and it says here in verse 3, it says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another, the first like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. Look at verse 6. After this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. Look at verse 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. So in chapter 2, you have God showing man what he admires about man as a whole. And in chapter 7, you have God showing Daniel, from God's view, man is a beast, lion, bear, leopard, and then a beast that's fit and, I mean, horrible and terrible and teeth, and it just gets bloodier as it goes. Once again, the same length of period. First, it's gold, silver, bronze, metal, and iron, and then mud. Now it's animals. Now when you come, notice this, the only nation you know that's been told us thus far is that Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, was the gold, which would tie in with the lion in chapter 7, right? So we know who the first beast is, but we don't know who the silver or the bear or the bronze and the leopard or the, we don't know who those are yet. Chapter 8, God's going to focus in on, now go to chapter 8. In chapter 8, I'm just going to start reading here, and it says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which was in the province of Elam, and I saw it in a vision, and I was by the river of Uli. So God takes Daniel from Babylon to where God wanted to show him a place in the future, just like God took John in Revelation, right? Transported in the spirit to a place that's in the future. So Daniel is being given this vision by God, and let's look at it. It says verse 3, then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat. So thus far we've got a ram with two horns, and now we see a goat, and you're going to learn this goat has one horn. All right, watch this. It says here, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Over there in the Middle East, a one-horned goat is called a unicorn. Okay, not fantasy or purple or rainbows or nothing like that. But in the Middle East, there is a goat that has one horn. Over here, we don't know that in America because we just don't have that goat. But watch this. Verse 6, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him and smote the ram and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it, the horn, came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And so you have, and then verse 9 kind of ends this, and it says here, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. Now, look over at verse 20. The ram, well, I'll tell you what, go ahead and look at verse 15. It says, it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me in the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for that at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as he, y'all understand, he's showing him the future then. What's going to happen in the future? It hasn't happened yet, so he's showing him something in the future. And then he says, verse 18, now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. I know a lot of church members that are like that in church. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the, here we go, last end of the indignation. There it is again, a reference to the future. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. Okay, all these words on prophecy and looking towards the future. Watch, verse 20. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. Okay. This is, you could say, 553 BC. But up until this, in Daniel chapter 2, we didn't know who the second kingdom was. We were just told it's Media Persia. We're getting ready to be told who the third kingdom is. Look at verse 21. It says, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now we're told, wow, gold, silver, bronze, iron, iron mixed with clay, lion, bear, leopard, wild beast. We know who the lion and the gold are, and we just found out who the silver and the bear is. That's Media Persia. And we just found out who the bronze and the leopard are. It's Greece. You should have right next to verse 21 in your Bible, just to help you, that would be the king of Grecia would be Alexander the Great. Okay? You should have Alexander the Great written right next to verse 21. That's who that is. All right? So, here in this vision, let me go through and show you a few things about this chapter. And this is, I think, very helpful in understanding. See how people hate the book of Daniel, because when God shows Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, and Media Persia and Greece, Media and Persia, it didn't exist at the time God showed Daniel Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Gold, silver, it didn't exist. Greece didn't exist. And so people who hate the Bible, they hate the book of Daniel because they say, well, it was written after Greece and Rome. But keep in mind, God sees it all, and God says, I can tell you this empire is coming, then this one, then this one, then this one, and this is how it ends. And we'll look at some verses there that help you with that. So watch this. Go back to the start there in verse number 3. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Well, what does that mean? Here we go. Media, the Medes, and Persia, the Persians. Well, it started out with the Medes greater than the Persians, and then Persia became greater at the last. So two horns, one nation, two nations become one, the ram, and at the last, Persia becomes the greatest. Then look at the direction it goes. It says here, verse 4, and I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward. And that's exactly how Media Persia, okay, it first went north to Babylon. Then it went west to Babylon. It went north to the Assyrian, and then it went south. It came from, if you're looking at the map, it came from the east. So it went west, north, and south, and didn't go east, because it came from there. And that's exactly 200 years before they took over. No, excuse me. They would come and take Daniel. Remember, Darius and Cyrus? I got a little ahead of myself. Darius and Cyrus? They would come and remember the handwriting that we'll see on the wall, Daniel chapter 5. So this is getting ready to take place, and God's telling them exactly how the next empire is going to come in and take over the Babylonian Empire. So this ram is the tells them how they're going to conquer, and then it says here, I saw the ram pushing once again. Do you remember when we looked at the bear? Remember in the bear's mouth, which is Media Persia, it had three ribs, the three places it conquered. It ties in with west, north, and south, those same places. So three places, three ribs, three places on the compass, still tying in with chapter 7. Okay, watch this. And so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. Now, when we're thinking about the ram, which is Media Persia, two horns, Media and Persia is bigger. How did it go from a bear in chapter 7 to a ram, which is what? A male goat, okay? A male sheep, excuse me, a male sheep. So, it'd be a male sheep. I think if somebody said, oh no, there's a bear out there, you'd be a lot more scared than if somebody said, oh no, a ram, right? So one is less meaner than the other. You say, why? Remember, Darius and Cyrus were the people God used to send 42,000 Jews under Zerubbabel and Nehemiah back to Jerusalem to build the wall. The way they treated Jerusalem was not as God's people, was not as barbaric as they treated other people. So in the view from a Jew looking at Media Persia, the bear to other nations, but a ram to Jerusalem would be because of how, Well, what did Cyrus do? He paid for the building of the temple at the expense of Babylon, right? Rebuilt their temple, gave, I would say that's millions of dollars. Okay, I don't know how much, but that's millions. So here's this bear in chapter 7 that in the eyes of the Jews is a ram. Okay, not what you would call a bloodthirsty creature. It's all based on how they treated the Jews. So you've got this picture here as you work your way down to verse 8. Then, verse 4, verse 5. Now we're going to start looking at the goat. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west. Now we know that this is Greece. So if you're looking at the map and you have the Mediterranean, okay, and Israel and Babylon, well, the west, Greece, is going to be over here. Okay, so he came from the west and moved this way. Then, watch this, and touched not the ground, and the goat, on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. That means he was lightning fast. They say nobody took an empire faster in growth. It took Alexander the Great 12 years to conquer from Greece, all across Asia Minor, all across Persia, all the way till you get to India in 12 years. And that's why it says it was as if he didn't touch the ground. People think Hitler's blitzkrieg was fast. He made Hitler look like, Girl Scout. Yeah, thank you. I don't know how slow a Girl Scout would be in taking over the world, but I think you get the picture. Okay, here we go. So it says, he touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And, of course, that's going to be Alexander the Great, is that horn. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler or fury against him, and smote the ram and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. Basically, Alexander, in three battles, moving across, hit the Media Persian Empire so hard, Darius III could not recover, and it was literally a lightning hit, and Greece is now the new world power. The ram couldn't stand, now the goat is the authority, and as that empire sweeps across the Middle East there, and it says here, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his, the goat's hand. And just so you know, that one final battle, it was Alexander's, there was only 50,000 soldiers in Alexander's army, and there was 250,000 in Darius's. And he hit him so hard, and of course, then you get into the tactics of it. But 50,000 men beat 205 times the number, and it's one of the most famous battles where now Alexander the Great is the world power and stamped it so that they could never get their footing again, and there was none that could deliver. Now here we go. Verse 8, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. After 12 years of conquering the earth, at age 30, Alexander the Great, after living a horrible life of debauchery and degradation and filth, drunk himself and choked on his own vomit and went into eternity. And Alexander the Great became Alexander the Dead. And now here, the great horn is broken, right? So he dies. Then, watch this. It says, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Okay, he's 30 years old. There's no appointed king after Alexander the Great dies. So four of his generals, four notable horns, come up in the one horn's place. And they take this new empire that goes from Greece all the way over to India. And they divide it into sections. And the names of his four generals was Seleucus, Ptolemy, Cassander, and Lysimachus. So you have Seleucus got the north, which would be central Turkey and Syria. Ptolemy got the south, which would be Egypt and North Africa. Cassander got the west, which was Greece, and southern Turkey and Macedonia. And then Lysimachus got, as you'd be looking at the map, the east, which would be western Turkey, Thrace, and of course, all the rest of Asia Minor. Now, here we go. Four notable horns toward the four winds of heaven. And okay, here we go. When you look at this, the he-goat in verse 5, once again, that he-goat was a leopard in chapter 7, but now he's a goat. Remember? A goat is not what you would call a horrible, dangerous creature, all right? Not like a leopard. A leopard will kill you, all right? It's a bloody animal. How did it go from, remember, bear to a ram, and then from a leopard to a he-goat with one horn? It's all based on how he treated Jerusalem. Let me tell you the story. In Josephus' Antiquities of the Jews, which he wrote right around 300 years after it happened, but Daniel told it was going to, God told Daniel in chapter 8, the story that's relayed. Alexander the Great starts his battle to conquer the Medes and the Persians. Three battles, and one night he has a dream. And this is all in here, and it was by Alexander the words. I'll tell you here in just a second. He has a dream, and he sees a high priest that he'd never seen before, but it ended up being how the high priest dressed in Israel. Purple, silk, all that stuff. And that priest tells him to conquer the Medes and the Persians and to go as fast as he can. He wins those three battles. Then on his way down, he's getting ready to conquer Jerusalem. And the high priest there, I believe his name was Jadus, the night before, something like this, he had a dream where God told him that Greece was coming and to, now, once again, I don't count this as Bible, but it is an account that is, I guess you could say, verifiable from many different. So the priest said God showed him in a dream how the king of Greece was coming and that all the people were to dress in white robes. He was to put on his priestly array, in the gold and the purple and the silk, and that they were to go out and meet the king as he came to the city. Well, keep in mind, all the other cities that Alexander the Great has come to, he's butchered and killed. This is the first city. When he comes upon it, he gets up off his horse, and Jadus, the priest, the high priest, and the people are coming out of the city, all dressed in white, and the priests in their garb, they come out, and this is the first person that Alexander the Great gets off his horse and kneels before the high priest. And he said, his men thought he was crazy, because he hasn't done this to anybody else. And they said, you know, Chief, what are you doing, Alexander? You know, what are you doing? And how is this? And he said, this is the guy I saw in my dream 2 years ago when we started the conquest. He said, I've never seen anybody dressed like him. And so Jadus didn't know what was going on. He was just doing what he had seen in his dream. And they showed Alexander, the book of Daniel, chapter 8, what we just read about the ram and the he-goat. And then they went to verse 21 and said, this is the king of Greece. And they said, you're this ram. Now, how you could be shown something like that in the Bible and amazing and not get saved, excuse me. Alexander the Great was nasty, okay? I think he was a homo, queer, whatever. Okay, so he died and went to hell, all right? However, when he saw that in the book of Daniel, and Jadis showed it to him, he said, from now on, he said, what would you all want? They gave themselves, they said, you don't have to fight us. We know you're this king. He said, what do you want? He said, and Jadis the priest said, we want two things. One, we'd like to live our life according as God has told us. And then we'll pay you tribute every year, but the seventh, because none of us are going to work. Keep in mind, they're out of captivity, right? Think they learned their lesson for not observing the Sabbath here? So they tell Alexander the Great, could we not pay tribute to you on our every seventh year? Alexander said, not only for you, but for every Jew all across Asia Minor and everywhere they are. So they got to do that. That is why Greece in chapter 7 is a leopard with four wings. But in Daniel chapter 8, it's a he-goat, right? Because of how it treats Jerusalem and God's people, spared from the butchery of and the mass murder, you could say, from the other nations. Now, that happened. God showed the ram and the he-goat to Daniel 250 years before it took place. Chapter 8 is one reason. You remember the direction? How'd the ram go? He went west, north, and south, and that's exactly when you, one glimpse in history shows you the amazing detail of that book you have in your hands. And Daniel chapter 8 is one of the reasons, Daniel chapter 9 is the other one, that people hate, who hate the Bible, if they hate the Bible, they really hate the book of Daniel. Because there's nothing in the Vedas, which is Hindu writings, that prophesies. There's nothing in the Quran that prophesies. There's nothing in the Mormon book. There's nothing in, to state your reputation. Do you understand how important when God says, when something is going to happen, I'm the only one that can do that. Nobody, and it's proof that God is God. All right, so take your Bible real quick and go to Isaiah 46. We've seen it before, but watch this. Isaiah chapter 46. Once again, how could Alexander the Great? It'd be like Cyrus. Right? Cyrus is in the book of Isaiah, right? Daniel showed Cyrus, you're the king that's going to send God's people back and help build the temple. How could you see all of that and go, oh, how could you not get saved? How could you? To me, it's just, that's the mind-blowing part. But here we go. Isaiah chapter 46. Look at verse 9. Should be marked in your Bible. It says, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Aren't you glad ain't nobody like him? Right? Look at verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. What God gave Daniel, the exact prophecy and exactly how this kingdom would take this kingdom. God staked his reputation. He said, name me another God that does that. And the answer is, there's nobody like God. There's nobody that could do that. God says, I'm the one that sees it, both ends. I can tell you how it is. That's how come I can tell you what I can tell you how, what you are if you're lost. I can tell you are what you're, what if you're saved, and I can tell you what's coming. And that's how come I can tell you have eternal life. Now watch this. God can promise you eternal life. But think about that just for a second. Does any of us understand that? It's hard for us to understand 50 years, right? Or 70. But for God to say, I'm going to save you forever. He's the only one that knows what he's talking about. We just go, hey man, that's good. But we don't have a clue at what that means. It's wonderful. Now, you're in chapter 46. Look at chapter 48. Just look at Isaiah chapter 48. Ready? Look at verse number 3. I have declared, I'm in Isaiah 48, verse 3. I have declared the former things from the beginning. And they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Why? Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. God said, how do you know God is right? Because he's the only one whose prophecies have come of old. Has everything he has said has come to pass. Now, wait a second. That should comfort us, because if God could do this 300 years and show Daniel what was happening, that means everything else that God showed Daniel is going to happen too. God's going to set up an everlasting kingdom. God's going to crush all the other kingdoms. Look, God said, thou shalt not kill, but because he's not ruling right now, people kill. God said, thou shalt not steal. That's a commandment of God, right? But he's not in charge right now. That's why people steal. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, they're not supposed to. You're right. But the only reason people are doing that is because God's not in charge right now. One day he's coming, Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, to set up an everlasting kingdom that shall not ever be done away with, right? When he sets up his kingdom, see, it's voluntary to get saved, right? You have to choose Jesus, right? God doesn't make you do anything right now. If you want to live without Christ, you want to live without going to heaven, you may. You can die and go to hell if you want to, but when Jesus reigns, you won't have it. Nobody will have a choice. There will be no sin on the earth. He will execute judgment on it all. There will be no killing, no stealing, no adultery. There will be no sin in his 1,000-year reign. He'll be cutting off heads every day in Jerusalem for people that, see, during the millennium, everybody is not going to love Jesus, but everybody is going to obey him. Amen. Doesn't that give me comfort as far as I know this world's messed up and it's going to get worse. It's going to get darker, but we know what's coming. And all these prophecies, you say, they've been saying Jesus is coming for years. But I think we're closer now than we've ever been. So hang on. It's the sign of a false prophet. Everybody should know. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and look at verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22. Okay, you could say it's probably the last verse there in Deuteronomy 18. It says here, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. There'd be anything. Anytime somebody has... That's how come, late great planet Earth, and then they said Jesus was coming again in 1980, and then he was coming again in 19, and somebody said, they've always been saying, I know, but the people that were saying it discredited themselves. They proved they're false. To say something is going to happen, God says, why would you, Jehovah's Witnesses have said it 6 times since 1917, right? That Jesus came and he didn't come physically, so now he's come spiritually and blah, blah, blah. How could you be a Jehovah's Witness? They are so full of malarkey. God says, thou shalt not be afraid of them. But God staked his honor. God staked his word. When I tell you something's going to happen, it happens exactly like I say it's going to happen. That brings comfort to us as God's people. Overview. Ready? Daniel 2, it starts out as gold, silver, bronze. Daniel 7, it goes from lion to bear to leopard. And this whole time of the Gentiles is getting bloodier and more beast-like till finally there's flesh hanging from the teeth. Then you come to Daniel chapter 8, and God zooms in to two empires, the Median Persian and the Grecian Empire, the ram and the he-goat, because of how God uses them to spare his people, to spare Israel. The ram and the he-goat. And that book you have in your hands is God's eternal word. And God's going to keep every word of it. Well, what about Nostradamus? Nostradamus is a screwball. He died and went to hell. Okay? He's a fool. Anybody else? Our God. Isn't it wonderful? I don't want you to get proud, but watch this. We that believe the Bible, we're the only ones that are right. Aren't you glad? Everybody else is wrong. And it's been already proven that way. So your hope should be in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you.